In our gospel reading, Luke introduces three of the women who travel with Jesus around Galilee and into his death in Jerusalem. These are not just women Jesus meets along the way. These are women actively engaged in his work and who financially supported his ministry and his mission. Although their appearance at this point in the narrative is brief, they provide an important reminder that the company of Jesus' followers included women as well as men. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark also note that women accompany Jesus throughout Galilee and into Jerusalem. But only Luke informs readers of this fact in the middle of the story describing Jesus' public ministry. It was not necessarily scandalous in the first century for women to join themselves to a traveling male teacher or religious figure, but the mere presence of women among Jesus' followers, along with Luke's willingness to make them known, suggests that the Jesus movement was more inclusive and welcoming toward women than others of the ancient world. Luke mentions that the women provided for Jesus out of their resources, but he does not elaborate on the nature of their service. Some have interpreted their roles to be supplying and preparing food. In any case, offering service of any kind to Jesus was something highly valued throughout Luke and Acts. We must also remember that the resurrection was not something that the disciples and the women were counting on. For them, it was over. The men were in hiding, lest they be executed by Pilate, and the women were carrying out their last act of friendship and devotion by anointing Jesus' body in death. If they were expecting the resurrection, they would not have been hiding, but waiting by the entrance to the tomb for the resurrection miracle. And perhaps this is why none of the Gospels record how and the when of the resurrection. We assume it was around daybreak on a Sunday morning, but we don't really know when or how. We only know who. As we hear Luke's account of that first Easter, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women unnamed remind us that all of our voices are needed to share the good news of Christ. Surely the women present knew that their talk of a stone rolled away from the tomb and of two men in bright clothing saying, "Jesus has risen from the dead," would sound like nonsense to anyone who wasn't there to witness the account. Surely those who gathered might wonder, who are they to say such things? Yet the women faithfully report all they saw and all they heard. Their story is so incredible that even the apostles don't believe them initially. But still, the women speak up. They speak up about the good news which they have received. And for us today, this is also an invitation for us to do the same. If you write or speak publicly, if you have conversations with friends or post on social media, if you have good news to share, you too are called to speak up as we each experience the life-giving love of Christ. We never know it, but each voice which witnesses the good news of Christ could perhaps be just the holy nonsense and good news that someone else needs to hear. In Luke, the words of the women perhaps seemed foolish, but their story became the first story of the resurrection presented to the disciples, and the very same resurrection which God has guaranteed for our lives. The words, "He is not here, but he has risen," is not only the promise of life after death, which after all would certainly be enough, but it is also the assurance that the life-giving love of God will always move the stones of life away. It is the assurance that tombs are simply containers for the dead, which foster corruption, marginalization, and fear. It is the assurance that God is still able to roll those very same stones away for us today, creating new life and the possibilities of hope and peace. The promise of the resurrection is not only secure because God raised Jesus from the dead. The promise of the resurrection is secure when we today speak into our own lives that Christ is risen, and when we offer life-giving praise that will roll back whatever constrains us and yet ensures that all life may be free to know the gifts of dignity and respect. Resurrection insists that the way of love will always win. Resurrection confirms that the truth of kindness can be heard over rhetoric. Resurrection gives witness to the fact that there is another way of being in the world, a way which embodies all that is life-giving and is demonstrative of mercy and of the truth of Easter so much that others will listen to you, watch you, and perhaps say, "Wait a minute, did I just witness the presence of the Lord?" The truth of the resurrection does not require our action for verification or depend upon our witness to convince others. The truth of the resurrection does not require us to free those captive to the things of the world, because the truth of the resurrection is true regardless of our testimony. It gains strength from each and every one of us if we can be willing to say, "I have seen the Lord," or even if we can imagine those who might need us to say, "I've seen the Lord," because they simply cannot. And the only reason others may not feel that they can see the Lord is because perhaps they have known the walls and the familiarity of their tombs for far too long. And perhaps little do they know their resurrection awaits them with the same offering of hope and salvation which is given to us all. Resurrection is the truth that Jesus indeed matters for our future, but even more so for our present times. And so today we thank you, Mary, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and all other women for preaching the sermon not only that we needed to hear, but also reminding us of the sermon we each need to preach and live into every day of our lives. There is a story told about in an unusual event which occurred in a passion play at church. A lady was teaching Sunday school to kindergartners with a life-size picture of Jesus. And she asked, "Who can tell me who this is?" And of course, everyone said, "That's Jesus." She asked, "Where does Jesus live?" And there was silence. And then one little boy said, "He lives in my heart." The teacher said, "That's very good. Where else does he live?" Another little girl said, "He lives inside of me." The teacher said, "That is correct." One little kid who was visiting and had not been to church before was sitting and gazing at this life-size picture of Jesus and listening to the kids say that Jesus lives inside of him, of them. He's looking at this big picture and the little bodies of the kids, and he's trying to figure out how this big man lives inside of them. And so he raised his hand and said, "Well, if he lives inside of me, he's going to be sticking out all over." And my sisters and brothers in Christ, that is what the resurrection story is all about. If you believe that Jesus died and you believe that he was buried and you believe that he was also resurrection, yes, he will be sticking out throughout all of us because he resides in our very temple. The Easter story is a story not just for some of us, but for each of us. Regardless of who we are, regardless of what we have done or left undone, this is our shared story. The resurrection of Christ makes every day a first day. It allows us the opportunity to each write a new story for our lives. It allows us to live without regret, lament, fear, or worry. May we embrace the resurrection at this very moment, not simply as something which takes place after we die, but may we each begin to embrace it as something that is happening at this very moment in our life. Because resurrection deals with the here and now. May we remember that the world is still filled with hope, and there is a place where we can always find glimpses of resurrection as we wander through life and as we share our great proclamation of faith that Christ is risen. Hallelujah! He is risen indeed. Amen.